Last week, YouTube agreed to pay $170 million in fines as part of a settlement with the Federal Trade Commission.
The FTC took aim at YouTube because it said that it violated something called the COPPA law.
That's Recode's senior correspondent Peter Kafka. And COPPA stands for Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. And that went into effect back in 1998 at the tail of the first internet boom. And it imposed certain requirements on websites targeting children under the age of 13.
In the shortest version of saying it is they're saying YouTube was taking personal information about the kids and then using it to serve those kids' ads, which they're not supposed to do, hence the fine.
But paying a fine wasn't the only concession YouTube had to make.
What the settlement requires YouTube to do is ask people who are uploading YouTube videos, which is a gazillion people, they upload hundreds of hours per minute, to say, hey, is this stuff aimed at kids? Yes or no? And if you say, yes, this is aimed at kids, then YouTube will treat that video differently. They won't do a lot of tracking around it. It's unlikely they're going to serve ads. They certainly won't serve behaviorally targeted ads towards kids and essentially sort of segment those away from sort of traditional YouTube viewing.
How popular, and this is going to age me here, but how popular is YouTube among the youth today, Peter?
If you know a youth, if you know someone who has a youth, you'll know it's extraordinarily popular. YouTube certainly knows that. They legally couldn't say that, but they certainly knew it. And in the FTC complaint, they say, look, not only did you know it, but you were telling advertisers, this is how you can reach kids.
So we've seen a couple of these settlements coming out of the FTC against big tech companies. And often the criticism is, well, is that actually going to have any impact on, in this case, YouTube's behavior, or is this just a slap on the wrist?
There are two main sort of avenues of complaint about this settlement. This is, by the way, echoes an FTC $5 billion settlement with Facebook earlier this summer. One is the fines should simply be much, much bigger. One of the FTC commissioners who voted against it, who also voted against Facebook, said it should be something in the billions. And then there's an argument that says YouTube should be required to do much more. Whatever amount of money they're going to spend, they're probably going to generate $20 billion in revenue in 2019. It's almost impossible to levy a fine that will be meaningful to one of these companies at this size. But what you could do is change their behavior fundamentally. So another commissioner who dissented said, we want YouTube to put the onus on itself to track this stuff to see, is this video actually a kid's video? If so, let's treat it differently.
So let's talk about that, because the onus right now is on the content creator, the person that's making the content, right? To tell YouTube, after this settlement at least, to tell YouTube, this is for kids.
In terms of the settlement. Mm-hmm. Now, YouTube says, look, we're going to go above and beyond the settlement, and of our own accord, we're also going to police this. But there's no requirement that they do it, and there's no sort of parameters pasted around that, and they could decide in a year they don't want to do it.
Kids' content creation is a big market. I mean, you know, we grew up prior to YouTube and, you know, cartoons on Saturday morning. But now, I mean, the amount of content that's available to kids is staggering.
It's all of the internet, right? So it's Saturday morning cartoons for them. It's after school cartoons for them. It's anything. It's bustle where they're going to do their homework. It's just part of their life. It's built in.
Is this going to have an impact on the content creators, on the people that are making this stuff for kids?
This is what YouTube says itself. It said this is going to cause problems for people who've made money doing this. We're going to try to help them out as well. We're going to spend $100 million over 3 years to help these creators figure out ways to reach kids and to show them stuff that will generate ads, even though the ads won't generate as much money.
Why is this a problem? And what I mean by that is, you know, we just mentioned Saturday morning cartoons that have been, you know, around in, say, the 70s and 80s. And in between all of those cartoons were ads aimed specifically at kids. Why is it that this particular type of advertising was under the microscope here? Why can't we advertise to kids online?
You can advertise to kids. You just have to do it with sort of blinders on. You have to say, here's a children's show about dogs. Would you like to advertise on it? Not knowing anything else about who's going to watch it. And that's the kind of advertising YouTube is going to offer now, which sells for much less.
We mentioned that this settlement was essentially based on violation of COPPA, which is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, and basically says you can't collect data from kids under 13. And that law is from 1998, for those who are counting. I don't want to do the counting, but that is quite a while ago. And internet use has changed a lot since then. Is it really the data collection on kids we're worried about here?
I think this is an overall complaint about the internet and the overall complaint about these giant internet companies that have basically run without regulation. And so in context, this is part of a larger push to sort of push and pull these internet platforms in various directions, but we really don't know how we want to regulate them. There is not anything approaching consensus about what to do about Google, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. These are international companies. They serve the entire world. It's very unclear that politicians in Washington have the capacity to really sit down and figure this stuff out.
And that's something that I wonder how that's changed under this current administration. I mean, the big privacy push was under the Obama administration, and that was also sort of, you know, floundering a little bit there. But is this administration any friendlier to privacy guidelines, at least?
Well, if you're talking about privacy, who knows? This administration and Republicans currently today are spending a lot of time criticizing the internet platforms for supposedly censoring conservative viewpoints. Not a lot of evidence for that, but that is their major complaint. So this is the analogy I use is school reform. If you go ask someone, hey, should the schools be reformed? Everyone says yes. You say, what's the problem? And then it depends who you're talking to. Some people want creationism taught in the schools. Some people want metal detectors. Some people want more funding for gifted and talented, on and on and on. And so no one actually agrees what the problem is.
You are a parent yourself.
Uh-huh.
There are many parents out there. I wonder how much parents know about what their kids are viewing on YouTube. Are you concerned about what your kids are seeing on YouTube?
Yeah, I am. I know enough to be concerned. I know enough not to be overly concerned because I'm hoping that I'm educating my kids and giving them the capacity to sort of interpret what they're seeing, and I'm asking them about stuff they're seeing, but I'm certainly not monitoring everything they're watching. I used to be able to send them in the basement and they would watch Netflix, and I knew they were pretty much in a container and they weren't going to get a weird surprise. I know that's not the case with YouTube, and it's on me to be talking to them, limiting access to computers when I can with the knowledge that I can only do so much, that they're going to go to school, they're going to go to a friend's house, and I can't keep this stuff away from them forever.
What should parents be doing, especially, I mean, you're someone that's immersed in the technology space, you write about it, you know about it. A lot of parents probably don't know as much about it as you do. So what do you recommend parents do if they want to have more control over what their kids are seeing?
I'd start by looking at what your kids are seeing. You know, I do it all the time. It's very tempting to hand a kid a tablet and say, I got to eat dinner. I got to do whatever. Go do this thing and I'll go do my thing. And I'm going to continue to do that. But periodically, watch with them. See what they're watching. You might ask them questions about it, even if you can't sit with them at the time. I don't know why I'm giving parenting advice, but here I am.
Please, it's my fault.
Ask them what they were watching. I often hear my kids saying weird stuff. I'll say, where did that come from? And they'll say YouTube, or they won't say YouTube. They'll explain something else, and I'll eventually divine that it was YouTube. So just get a sense of what they're consuming. And by the way, this doesn't have anything to do with YouTube. This is across the internet. And do a little bit of research, too. I mean, if you think Instagram is a sharing, photo sharing tool, you're only partially correct. If you've got a 13-year-old, it's also a messaging platform for them, which, again, might be entirely fine for you, but you should know that your kids are talking to other kids on Instagram. They're not just posting photos there.
And finally, we mentioned the law here that started in 1998, Children's Online Privacy Protection. Are we left with this 20-year-old some odd law? Is there any likelihood that we'll get an update here, given the fact that the internet itself has updated quite significantly since then?
We certainly could, and that law was amended fairly early on. Right now, most of the focus when people are talking about reforming the internet is about a 1996 telecom law, the Communications Decency Act, something specifically called Section 230. Keep hearing about that. So there is an appetite for going back to old laws and at least discussing whether or not to change them, whether we're actually going to do that, whether we're actually going to pass legislation. I'm not a political expert. It seems hard to believe that it's going to happen anytime soon.
Peter Kafka is the senior correspondent at Recode. Peter, thanks so much for being with The Takeaway.
Thank you.